The following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
Tax season is here, and First Source wants to help you be prepared. Our friends at Furley, Moran, Freer, and Issa have given us some great tax tips to share. Read the blog at fsource.org for helpful answers to your tax questions and feel better prepared before you file. First Source members can also receive a discount on TurboTax software. Be ready for tax season with help from your friends. File smarter, live smarter with First Source. Membership requirements apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, baseball fans, are you counting down the days to opening day? Well, Disruption Network has you covered. The Baseline, the D's own baseball podcast, is back with Season 2 and all new episodes all season long, Sunday nights, 7:30 p.m. on the D. Get your baseball fix as JP and SPG run down the news and notes around Major League Baseball. Get fantasy tips, player rankings, team previews, interviews, and more. You can catch The Baseline and all of Disruption Network's programming by checking out DisruptionNetwork.net, Apple Podcast, Google Play, YouTube, Facebook, and Stitcher. Keep it inside The Baseline all season long, only on the D.
Hey, it's Cassidy, and you're listening to Disruption Network.
So you just bought your dream home, and now it's time to move. Let's face it, nobody likes to move. All the packing, unpacking, lifting, upstairs, downstairs, and broken everything, including your back. Let the professionals at EJA Moving Company take all the stress and pain out of your move. Competitively priced moving, relocation services, office moves, and complete packing and unpacking services. They work with everybody to make it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. Call EJA Moving Company at 315-335-0516. When it's time to relocate, have EJA Moving do all the work for you. Hit them up online, ejamoving.com.
Hey, Disruption Network, this is Mike Sacco, the general manager at Nye Volkswagen of Rome. If you don't know me by name, it's only because you have not received the best deal. There's only one reason to leave Utica, and that's to come see me in Rome and get the best deal on your next new, pre-owned, or certified VW. Mention that you heard this ad from Disruption Network and receive $250 off your next vehicle purchase. You'll know why our customers say, I love my Nye VW. Come see us at 5865 Rome Taberg Road in Rome or visit us online at nyevwofrome.com.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
The Disruption Network is making moves. For upcoming events, news, interviews, and new daily programming, keep in the loop with us at DisruptionNetwork.net. Like, follow, and subscribe to all our social media. And check out all our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Get up on the D. DisruptionNetwork.net.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
EC Radio Disruption Networks. EC Radio Disruption.
Yeah, what's good, everybody? We got an excited guest today. I love it. Banana.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to EC Radio. How are you? It is Z. How you doing? It's good to see you. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. We are live on the D. You can check us out pretty much on every freaking social media platform that we are on. It's Twitter, Twitch, Periscope, YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff. All that stuff. We're everywhere. So thank you so much for joining along. And it's bundled up into a nice little ball of podcast and love that lives at disruptionnetwork.net, Bowie.
Yes!
I got my man Bowie in the house with us. Bowie is how do you say your last name?
Abiola.
Abiola.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get into his whole story in just a little bit. Yeah. Before we do, I got to give love and respect out to my sponsors. Wake the hell up, Utica. That's where we're preaching over at Utica Coffee, the best coffee in the world. WakeTheHellUp.com. You can check them out online. You got to check that place. Have you ever been to Utica Coffee?
Oh, no, I have not.
Well, I'm bringing you there.
Yeah, you got to bring me to Utica.
You're fair. Well, you're already in Utica.
I mean, Utica, you got to get me there. Get me to Utica Coffee, man. Absolutely. You got to do that.
We'll get you there. You are new to the area. Yes. We'll get into all that. There's a lot of spots I got to bring you, bro.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of spots.
Oh, my God. It's going to be an adventure, guys. It's going to be a real adventure.
You know it.
Yeah.
Also, big love to my friends over at Nye Volkswagen in Rome, 5865 Tabor Road in Rome. Stop into their showroom. Mention the D, $250. Off any vehicle purchase. It's that easy. It's that simple. And those guys they don't pull any punches. They really don't. They give it to you straight. Go in there, know your credit score. They'll hook you up with a nice vehicle. Nice V dub, if you will. $250 off any vehicle purchase. That's what my friends here at the D do for you over at Nye Volkswagen. Thank you so much. Check out their inventory at nyevdubofrome.com. Also, we've got a huge event that we just announced over the weekend. First Source Federal Credit Union presents Disrupting Hunger. It's happening Sunday, April 28th, a Veterans Outreach Center at 726 Washington Street in Utica, the old YMCA, if some of you people remember that. It's pretty cool what they're doing over there. A lot of the vets a lot of them, believe it or not, are homeless and they have no food. So there's living arrangements and they have a gymnasium and there's a cafe and stuff. So we're going to be down there hanging out from noon to 4 on April the 28th. There's going to be music. There's going to be food. We got raffles and also an appearance by Audi, the Utica Comets mascot. So it's going to be a good time. Come on down. Audie's the man.
Oh, yes.
We're looking for non-perishable food items, clothes, toiletry, hygiene products, furniture, pretty much any type of home-used products. So stop on down to the Veteran Outreach Center, Sunday, April 28th. And thank you so much to our friends over at First Source Federal Credit Union. If you're interested in donating, hit us up here at the D. You can direct message us or hit us up at sales@disruptionnetwork.net. So lots of good things happening here at the D, and you can keep it locked here, disruptionnetwork.net, for more information. So, yeah. Bowie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing so good. I'm so excited to be here with you on the Disruption Network.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love you're so full of energy, my friend.
Thank you, man.
So full of energy.
Thank you. Like, this is what I love. This is what I love. I love this. I just love, like, broadcasting and podcasting, and it's just the whole atmosphere is just so energetic, and it's like, I just love, I'm all about that positive energy. We need more positivity in the world.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So where's the name Bowie come from?
Okay, so Bowie's actually my nickname.
Oh, it is?
It's actually my nickname. My real name is Adebukola Abiola, and Bowie comes from my middle name, which is Boafola. My parents are Nigerian immigrants, so
both of them.
Yeah, both of them.
Wow.
So they came here when I was very young. Came to the U.S.
So were you born in Nigeria?
Yes, I
really?
Was 1 year old. I was a wee little lad. I was a baby when I came over to the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And so we came to New York City when I was 1 year old, and then when I was 5, we moved to Buffalo, New York, and then I grew up. From 5 up until college, I grew up there. I was raised there. I went to school there and everything. I went to school in Syracuse for college.
Yeah.
And then
you went to SU.
Yeah, SU. SU alumni, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go Cuse.
Go Orange. Go Orange. So I went to Syracuse for college, and then after that, I got a job here, and then I moved to Utica. Yeah.
Were you a big sports fan at SU?
Oh, yeah. I love the basketball games.
Basketball game?
I love the basketball
game. Now, who was playing when you were there?
Was it?
How long you been out of college?
I've been out of college for about 5 years now.
5 years, okay.
Yeah, I graduated in 2014.
2014?
Yes.
So CJ Fair was there?
Yes.
CJ Fair, Trevor Cooney.
Mm-hmm, Trevor Cooney.
Rakeem Christmas.
Yes, Rakeem. Yes, I loved Rakeem Christmas, and he wore the number 25 on his jersey.
Yeah.
It was so cool. I loved it.
That was a good, and then what was it, 2013 they go to Final Four?
I think, yeah, it was 2013.
2013.
I remember I was
Michael
like,
Carter Williams.
Yeah, it was I was a junior in college.
Okay.
And they went to, they made it to, is it Final Four?
They went to the Final Four,
yeah. They went to the Final Four.
And they lost to Michigan.
Yeah, it was sad when they lost. I'm like.
But they still made it pretty far.
They made it pretty far, though. I was so excited.
Yeah.
And like.
What was the energy like around campus then?
It was like when they lost, it was sad. Like people were sad that they lost.
Yeah,
but
of
like
course.
when they made it to the Final Four, it was amazing. It was insane. Like it was so charismatic. It like literally everybody was dressed up. Like everybody had like the face paint on. Like everybody had the you know like the team face paints, like the orange and blue face paint. We all had our Syracuse T-shirts on. It was like school represent. It was huge. Like they were like campus events, and it was the best. It was like literally, guys, if you're watching this, Syracuse University campus after a game or before a game is like the best event place to be. It's huge.
They know how to party.
Yeah. Yes. Really. Like for real. Like best parties in the world. It was awesome. Like they do.
So back in '96, when they go to the Final Four, they win the championship game when they had John Wallace and So I was working for K-Rock at the time, and we were on Marshall Street for the Final Four game when they won to go into the Final Four. And the crowd of people on Marshall Street, people were pulling up signs, just partying, and everybody's going, Cuse in the house, oh my God, oh my God. It was just, I'm getting chills just talking about it. But
people do that. People still did that. Though.
Still do that. Cuse in the house, oh my God,
yes.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
That all started with the 96 team.
Oh, okay. That was where it was at, though.
It was.
From what Z's telling me, that's where it's at. The 90s, I wish I could time travel back. I was too young, though, but I wish I could time travel back to see what it was like in 96.
Yeah, it was insane.
It was insane. I got to see it, man.
And I'm sure there was a ton of people on Marshall Street in 2013.
There was
just crowds and crowds of people just partying, going nuts.
It's huge. Like, it was the best place. It was, like, the best place to be.
Yeah.
It was the best place to be, legit.
Right on.
Yeah.
So how do you like being in Utica? Because from Buffalo to Utica, I always say that Buffalo's a bigger Utica.
It is. Like, okay, so Buffalo... There's so much to do in Buffalo. There's Anchor, because I'm a huge chicken wing fan.
Okay.
I love chicken wings. There's Duff's, there's Anchor Bar.
What about Bar Bill?
Bar Bill? I haven't been to Bar Bill.
What?
Like, I gotta go.
East Aurora.
East Aurora. Okay, I gotta go to Bar Bill, guys.
I'm telling you, Bowie, the best chicken wings of all Buffalo, all the world.
You've tried
Bar Bill.
Bar Bill. Okay, East Aurora, Bar Bill.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, this is good. Okay,
it's right over by Knox Farm there.
Is there a specific like type of chicken wing you love?
Is there? No. I'll eat anything.
Okay. Because like, oh my God. Like, because there's the suicide wings at Anchor Bar.
Is that the one you gotta sign a waiver for?
I think that might have been Duff's. I think that might have been Duff's.
Okay.
But like, I don't remember signing a waiver for suicide wings. The suicide wings aren't that hot though, in my opinion. They're very tolerable, in
really?
My opinion. Yeah, they aren't that hot. But the ones at Duff's, okay, so literally, this is story time with Bowie right here. So I went to, this was back when, this was like over 10 years ago now. Back in 08, I was in high school. I went to Duff's with a group of friends. We're like, oh my God, we got to try these wings. And it was like, so I had the hottest wings there because I'm like, okay, I tried Anchor Bar. It was nothing. Like, I'm like, Anchor Bar suicide wings are nothing compared to this. So like, I ate the hot wings for the first time at Duff's. My friends were like, Bowie, we've never seen a black person turn so red before. Your face was so red. I'm like, it was so hot. The wings were so hot. I'm like, wow. Anchor Bar's hottest wings are nothing compared to Duff's. So my friends are like, Bowie, your face turned ridiculously red. It was like as red as that chair right there. It was so like you should have seen it. And so I'm like, wow, Duff's wings are like the hottest the hottest wings in the world. Like it was so hot.
Is that how you like your wings, hot?
I always like, okay, so not necessarily, but I love to try new things. So I try, like, if I go to a new place, I try new foods.
Uh-huh.
Like, whether it's, like, international, national, like different types of cuisines around the world, I love to try new things. And I always take on the highest challenge.
Really?
In food. So I'm like...
Outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, go outside. Guys, go outside your comfort zone, everybody. That's where the real cool stuff is, outside the comfort zone. So literally, I go outside my comfort zone, I try new foods. And then as soon as I eat the new food, I'm like, okay, I know I can't handle this hotness next time, but at least I gave it a shot, right? So that's how Duff's was, because I thought it was gonna be like I thought it was nothing. I'm like, oh, Anchor Bar's hotness was not that hot. So I tried it. I was like, wow, my face turned ridiculously red.
You must love living in Utica just for the simple fact of all the different cuisines we have, Eric.
Yeah.
All the
Okay. So
different ethnic groups and
like. Okay, have you heard of Kitty's Food Truck?
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so literally when I moved here in Utica, the first I was introduced to Boom Boom Sauce for the first time
From Kitty's.
From Kitty's. And oh my God, like ever since then, I would always look at every single menu for Boom Boom Sauce. I would get Boom Boom Sauce, like, so when I go to, you know, Pizza Boys around here, I would always get Boom Boom Sauce wings. Boom Boom Sauce wings every Wednesday night, because every Wednesday night they have discount on wings, right? And they know me, people at Pizza Boy know me, because they're like, you're the Boom Boom Sauce guy, right? I'm like, yes, I am.
Bowie Boom Boom.
Yeah, Bowie Boom Boom.
Boom Boom Bowie. Yeah,
and then I'm like, yo, so they're like, you're the Boom Boom Sauce guy. I'm like, yes, I am the Boom Boom Sauce guy. Can I have 10 traditional Boom Boom Sauce wings at Pizza Boys, please? And so I would always get that. And so that, like, me, you know Zach Bonanza, right?
Yeah.
Me and Zach Bonanza would always go to Pizza Boys, and then we'd just chill and talk, and then I would get the Boom Boom Sauce wings. Zach, if you're watching this, you know this, right? I would get the Boom Boom Sauce wings, right? So, yeah.
Question for you. Yeah. So, now, you being from Buffalo, you grew up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any wings in Utica that you can compare to from Buffalo?
From Buffalo.
Have you had any wings from anywhere in Utica that you can compare to? Because Buffalo, New York is the originator.
Exactly. It's the original. It's in the original. That's kind of hard because can I also – because I know – okay, that's hard because
– Well, Utica, Rome area, the whole
– Because the thing is I'm a bit biased, right?
Right.
I'm very biased because
– Most people from Buffalo are.
Because I'm biased, but at the same time I'm also biased because – Utica has Boom Boom Sauce. So
they don't have Boom Boom Sauce in Buffalo?
I hadn't seen it. Like before I came to Utica, I had never heard of Boom Boom Sauce before. And then when I came to Utica, I tried Boom Boom Wings for the first time. I'm like, this is the best thing in the world. Why haven't I tried this before? So I'm like, yo, I need to try. So I wish they had it as a Buffalo. I'm gonna do some more research. And then also, since I went to school in Syracuse, Syracuse wings are amazing.
Yeah, where?
You know Wings Over Syracuse?
No.
There's a place called Wings Over Syracuse.
Really?
And they have like a Rochester and Albany branch. Like they're the same people. They have Wings Over Syracuse, Wings Over Albany, Wings Over Rochester.
Well, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're Wings Over. They're Wings Over. But like, so depending on their location, you would say Wings Over Syracuse, Wings Over Albany, Wings Over Rochester. Their wings are amazing. Like every time, so because I went to school in Syracuse, when I wanted wings, I would go to them. Their buffalo chicken wrap is heavenly. It is so heavenly. Like when the first time I bit into that buffalo chicken wrap, oh my God, it was the best thing in the world, guys.
Flavor country.
Yeah, flavor cooked and everything. It was so cool. It was so cool. And like, and oh my God. So like, so in reality, I'm comparing Utica to Syracuse, to Buffalo. I'm comparing all three because I've experienced all three.
So Buffalo's got to get the Boom Boom Sauce.
Yes, Buffalo got to get the Boom Boom Sauce. And then, okay, by the way, there's Taste of Buffalo, and all the wing outlets come to Buffalo. Oh, my God,
now, when
man.
Is Do you know when that is?
What?
Do you know when that is?
It's Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend?
It's Labor Day. The week before, it's like, it starts the week before Labor Day and ends like the week of Labor Day.
Oh, it's a whole week long.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
It is so good. Oh, my God.
Because we used to have the Taste of Utica. There's also the Taste of Syracuse. Have you been out to Taste of Syracuse?
Yes.
That's coming up. It's always the first weekend in June.
First weekend in June.
So
and then
you could get all the great.
There's also the Syracuse Fair.
Oh, yeah, the New York State Fair.
The New York State Fair.
And that's always Labor Day weekend,
yes,
too.
Yes, I've been to three of them, and those three, that you can get amazing foods there.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's so good.
So when you're going to the fair, what kind of food do you frequent? Are you into, like, the fried food type of thing?
Yeah,
or?
The fried food, like, I get the wings. I get, like, there's the cooked Oreos. Have you tried cooked Oreos before?
Yeah, the deep fried Oreo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, guys, the deep fried Oreo, you got to try it, guys. You got to try that.
Have you had the deep fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No, I haven't.
Yep,
is it good?
Oh, yeah.
I have not had
They deep
that.
Fry everything at the fair.
Oh.
You can even get deep fried you can even get deep fried bubble gum if you wanted.
Deep fried bubble gum.
Like, they deep fry everything.
Deep fried everything.
Everything.
Oh my god. Like, okay, this year when I go to the fair,
yeah,
I'm going to try so many different new foods.
I'm a fair aficionado.
Wait, are you going to the fair this year?
I live at the fair for 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right. So
we go together.
I will already be there.
Okay,
so you'll meet me out there.
I'll meet you out there.
So
Z.
I will put you on a nice little map of things that you need to try. My favorite thing. It's funny that we're talking about the fair because I was talking about it this morning at one of my meetings. And favorite thing at the fair is this surf and turf sandwich. Are you into seafood at all?
I love seafood.
So you like lobster?
Yeah,
and
I love
stuff,
lobster.
Right?
I love octopus too.
Me too.
The steamed octopus and squid. Oh my god!
So you love this sandwich? It's at Charlie's, and they only do it twice a year. They do it during the Taste of Syracuse, and they do it at the fair.
Charlie, I mean, they're in Syracuse.
They're in Syracuse, but they only do the sandwich at the fair and at the Taste of Syracuse. What they do is they got this London broil sandwich and they smother it with lobster, and then they just pour butter all over the top of it.
They pour butter. Oh my god! What was the name of this again?
Yeah, I don't. I think it's called the Surf and Turf sandwich.
Surf and Turf sandwich. Surf and Turf sandwich. Okay.
You'll freak when you.
Oh
eat
my
it.
God! I'm gonna see it. Have you? Okay. Do they have a red lobster at Utica? By the way, I mean,
yes.
Still
they have one in New Hartford.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know I've been to the Red Lobster in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Do they have something similar at the Red Lobster? Because I don't think I've seen it at the Red Lobster.
No, it's not.
So it's unique.
This is just Charlie's own thing. Like I said, he makes it twice a year for the Taste of Syracuse. It's not on his menu.
Oh.
You can't find it anywhere but at the Taste of Syracuse and at the fair for 2 weeks.
Okay, this is good. So I'm going to try something new, guys. I'm going to try something new.
You're going to try a lot of new things around
here,
brother.
Oh, my God. This is going to be the best summer in the world. Like, this is legit gonna be the best summer.
I gotta tell everybody,
legit.
He came in today earlier. He came in like a half hour early, and he started talking about, you heard from a friend of all the ongoings in the summertime here in Utica. And
exactly.
He's like, I can't wait to get going in the summertime.
I can't wait. I heard about the Saranac Brewery.
Yep.
I've heard so many great things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Z, can you talk to me about your experience at the Saranac Brewery, for your past experiences? Like, was it fun? What was the atmosphere like? Can you tell me about it?
I'm well versed in the Saranac Brewery. In fact, I live there probably 10 times a year.
Whoa.
Thursday nights, they block off their little courtyard there, and they get a bunch of bands to play every Thursday night. Local bands, local
Beautiful.
Cover bands. There's always a mixture of variety of things. It's like a happy hour.
Whoa.
So people get out of work, they go hang out in the parking lot, and they drink some beers, they listen to some good music, they eat some food, and then after it's done by like 9:30. Everybody goes out to Varick Street, and they go out to all the bars.
That's amazing.
So that's like an every Thursday occurrence throughout
every
the whole
Thursday.
Summer. But there's also the Saranac Concert Series.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Now, that's different from Thursday nights. Now, the Saranac Concert Series are these national bands that come through. Excuse me. And this year, we've got like 10 different bands coming through, like Slightly Stupid and Humphreys McGee, Dark Star Orchestra, Get the Let Out. There's a bunch.
There's a bunch of shows
going on at
this
the Saranac Brewery.
This summer is going to be amazing,
You're
going to
love it. Well, Buffalo does the same thing.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Buffalo does. And that's why I always think that Utica is a smaller Buffalo.
Because
we do a lot of the same events, and we also have like kind of the same food culture.
Whoa.
Now, you've noticed Utica has a big food culture,
they
right?
Do.
Yeah.
I'm all about that food, guys.
Yeah.
I'm all about that food. Yeah, I love it, man. Like, it's especially since I'm still new, it still feels like an adventure. Like, it still feels like, okay, what type of food am I going to explore today?
Mm-hmm.
Or what type of food am I going to explore, like, over the summer? Like, what event will I go to? It's like I'm in a whole different, like, land almost. Because it's like there's so much to do. Because, guys, remember when you guys were new at any particular place and you're like, there's so much to do. Where do I start? Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that adventurous, the adventurous atmosphere. Like,
you're like a little dog running around the backyard
exactly,
right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, but like, this is the point in time where before everything becomes routine and you know everybody and it's not as exciting. Cause like, you know, like when you were new to a place, like what was it like for you, Z? Like when you had that newness, you know, that newness, that adventureness,
yeah.
whenever you were new to a place or whenever you're new to any place or have you ever had that before? Is it like,
yeah, of course.
Yeah,
yeah,
you,
of course.
Can you tell me about it?
You like, love new stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not allowed to have nice things though. So anything new, I usually break.
Oh, because you got that adventurous.
Not because I'm a klutz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyways, as far as going to a new place, of course, there's always an adventure and something going on. But, Bowie, I got to say, you know, you coming in and mixing it up with the D, I think
absolutely.
You're at the right place at the right time.
Thank you. Thank you. And the thing is, the D has so many good people. Like, I just love talking to there's so many people from unique backgrounds and, like, from unique places of life, and it's just awesome because each person brings a new perspective, and with different perspectives we can grow. We can grow as people. Like
exactly.
And it's just there's so many great people at the D, and it's an honor. Z, it's been an honor to be able to like just talk with you and just learn from you and just grow.
You as well, man. Yeah. And you know, our resident fact checker is checking in, Dave Banage, and he's a member of the T. You know, he's a MVD, as we like to call it, the most valuable D. And he's saying he loves your enthusiasm right now.
Thank
he
you.
Loves your
thank
excitement you. Of a newcomer and stuff like that. And
thank you so
and,
much.
And I
MVD.
Do too, man. It's all fresh. And we're going to get into like all the whole thing. We've been talking about food and chicken wings for the last half hour.
Absolutely.
We're
going to
get into like why you're here.
Exactly. Exactly. And thank you so much, MVD. It's been a pleasure. Like, I hope I can meet with you in person someday.
You will. You will.
Because the thing is, MVD, that meant a lot to me, man. I appreciated it so much.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is awesome.
Now, Bowie's background is gaming.
I love like,
you're
oh
a gamer.
God. I'm a gamer. I'm a Twitch streamer. I'm a YouTuber. Like, I love games. Like, ever since I was a little kid, like, my cousin and I, like, I was 6, he was 5. Like, we would rent games from Blockbuster. And this was back in the day when Blockbuster was a thing. And, like, I remember my cousin rented this one game, Super Smash Brothers, for the Nintendo 64. It was, like, this was, like, late 90s, like, 1999. So, like, I was 6 years old at the time. And so my cousin got it. I spent the weekend at his house, right? We put it in the N64, and the rest was history.
Yeah.
Like, after that point in time, I fell in love with Super Smash Bros. And I've played every single Smash Brothers game. Since then, I became a huge fan. Like, there were so many characters. By the way, if you guys don't know what Super Smash Brothers is, it's a game by Nintendo. It's a fighting game. It's like their fighting game.
It's like Street Fighter.
It's like
or
their
Mortal
version
Kombat.
Of Street Fighter. It's pretty much, and they put their unique spin on it because the battle system, the damage system is slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's the Nintendo Street Fighter. That's what it is. And it's so fun because anybody can pick up and play. Like, I can be a complete newbie, and I can pick it up and start playing. The thing is with Smash is it's easy to pick up, but it's hard to master. Like, it's hard to really master the game, but it's easy to anybody can pick it up.
Gotcha.
Like, my 6-year-old cousin, for example, can easily pick up and start playing it.
I bet you I won't be able to.
Oh, you will. It's easy. It's one of
Bowie, the last game I played – like,
yeah.
Fully played,
yeah.
Was either NHL 95 on Sega Genesis or Super Mario Brothers or Donkey Kong, or I still have my original Atari.
Yo, we gotta hang out and play some Atari.
I haven't hooked it up in, I don't know, since I was 6, so that was back in the 80s.
Hey, I am honest, to be honest with you, I've never played an Atari, like the original. I've never played an original Atari. I know what it is, and I know the history of it.
Okay.
But I've never actually picked up and played an original Atari.
I think that we got to do this.
So if we hang out, we'll be on the same playing field.
Yeah.
It'll be like
one-on-one.
That'll be fun.
And like the graphics back then were just completely not where they are today. I mean, nowadays you're playing actual cartoons.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're playing actual people nowadays. Yeah. Where back then it was just lines and exactly. joysticks and a ball going across the screen.
Exactly. And, oh my God. Okay. You know, And each era has its own theme. Each era in gaming. So let me clarify. Each era in gaming has its own theme. So like in the early, is it late 70s? I think Atari was late 70s, right? Or mid 70s?
Early 80s, late 70s. Yeah. Before that was like a thing called Intellivision, I think it was.
Intellivision, yes.
Or something like that to that effect. It was just a ball and two lines and you played ping pong against each other.
Oh yeah. And then there's the original Pong too with the Atari.
The original Pong, bro.
This was before they made their own console. Like this was the Pong machines. Because I know Todd said that he like that was his first system. Todd said his first system was the Pong.
Right.
And he loved it. Like, hopefully, maybe someday we can get Todd here and he could talk about his whole experience.
Or we should just play the Pong.
Or we can play the Pong while having another podcast while playing the Pong at the same time.
Michelle's checking in. She's saying Frogger. Remember Frogger?
Yes.
Now, do you
90s.
Now, do you know anything about ColecoVision?
Oh, yes.
You do.
I know.
So you know your history on video games.
I know the history. The thing is, guys, I know the history, but I haven't actually played the older consoles, but I know all the history behind them.
Okay. What was the very first video game console, the home video game console? Was that the Pong Intellivision type of thing?
It was. The first home video game console was the ColecoVision.
ColecoVision?
Yeah.
Was it?
It was the ColecoVision or the... There was the ColecoVision and the Intellivision. They were released around the same time.
Okay.
So I'm not sure which one came first, but it was Intellivision and ColecoVision. And then before that, we had of course, the Atari. And then, but before that, it was, what was it? It was like, have you heard of like those radar machines, like radar, what's it called? The Army used it all the time. The radar lines.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how to
like a Morse code type of thing.
No, it's not Morse code.
Okay.
It's like there are two knobs and then you can literally like move different lines on the screen like you're playing a tennis game.
Right, like a ping pong.
But this was like in like those big huge computers that had less than like not even a megabyte of memory, like very very low memory. It's like the big huge like 60s computers. Remember like in the 60s they had these huge computers that had super low memory, but the technology at the time, they could only fit it, like they only had, they it was like, you know the wall over there, for example, there it would fit the entire wall.
The wall, yeah, and you could just play against your buddy or whatever,
but it was
a government thing.
It was a government thing, like, I mean, the original purpose for the computer wasn't to play games, but like, you can, like, use these, you know, like with the radar machines, you can control different lines on the screen and play a tennis. Like it's like you're playing Pong almost,
right?
It's like a precursor to Pong.
So Dave is checking in the MVD, and he's saying
MVD.
He's saying Magnavox Odyssey was released in 1972. Oh. Was the very first home video game console.
Magnavox Odyssey.
Do you know that?
Yes, I knew about the Magnavox Odyssey. I get the dates confused sometimes because I know there was the Magnavox, the Intellivision, the ColecoVision, the Atari, and I get that because they came out around the same time. But where I really like peaked in the interest was like the NES. I know the Nintendo Entertainment System,
that
which came out
Nintendo.
Yeah, that was Nintendo in like 1983 or 19 like late 1984, early 1985.
That's when the Nintendo first came out.
Yeah, the
home
first
console.
Nintendo. Yeah, the first Nintendo.
That was with Duck Hunt, Mario
Duck
Brothers.
Yes, okay. Let's say 1984 Japanese release, 1984, and then the U.S. release was 1985.
Okay, but it didn't really blow up until like maybe 88.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of where I was. Well, I know where I was, but when it was really popular in our neighborhood, it was probably right around 87, 88.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because like I know like and I know different news outlets at that point in time wasn't like news didn't travel as fast as it does now.
Correct.
Because like now, like if something comes out, everybody knows it right away.
Instantly.
But like I know like once something comes out, you'd have to like you would get the news, but it wouldn't come out like this was like pre-internet. Like 1985 was pre-internet.
Oh yeah.
So like, if a new console came out, you'd have to, you have these what's it called catalogs. Like they were magazine catalogs, yep. Right? And what were the big ones in 1980? This was before my time, so I wouldn't know.
Magazines were the big thing. I mean, yeah. Magazines were the internet back in the day. That's what we consider back in my day.
Was there a particular catalog that you followed? Like,
there's a bunch, man. All these department stores would have catalogs. Yeah. Everybody would have a catalog.
Everybody would have a catalog.
Right. This is pre-internet days.
Amazing.
So you, and this baffles me, and I gotta really accept the fact of that I'm old, but you don't know what it's like to have the internet or not have cell phones or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I know, so I'm a 90s kid, right? Yeah. I was born in the 90s and the early 90s, and then I grew up through the late 90s and the 2000s, right? So I know what it's like just before, like when the internet was like at its infancy. Uh-huh. I was super young when the internet first came out. I was like 2 or 3. So like, I grew up with it. But like I had only had that small instance where I knew what it was like before like internet stuff.
What about cell phones though?
Oh yeah, cell phones.
Never been like, around cell phones, huh?
Yeah. I do remember the flip phones though. I remember like back in like late 90s, the flip phone. Do you remember the flip phone?
This was the first phone I had. Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yo, first phone. Oh, okay. Can you tell me about your first phone? I would love to hear.
I don't remember. I was in the blackout back then. But they're saying right now, tell him, Z, he doesn't know the struggles that we had back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't know, right?
I would not
Can
know.
Can I tell you, back in the day when I was playing music and stuff, like the GPS that we had no GPS back in the day, so we'd have to read a road map. Do you know what a road map is?
My dad did that all the time. My dad, he's in his 50s.
So if the van broke down, the band van would break down, we would have to walk or go to a nearest payphone. Do you know what a payphone is?
Yes, okay. I know what a payphone
is. So there would be payphones. And nowadays, there's no more payphones.
Payphones are completely out of business. Are they out of business?
Pretty
right
much
now?
Obsolete.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty much obsolete.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got
a cell phone.
Got one of these.
And I think home phones are obsolete too, because I don't use a home phone.
Well, some people have landlines. They call them landlines now, but but pretty much a lot of landlines are obsolete as well too. But Ben is just saying Montgomery Wards. We used to call it Monkey Wards. Yeah, Montgomery Wards, JCPenney's. Those were all the catalogs.
So those were the catalogs.
Those department stores would have, you know, and every year they would release it seasonally. Mm-hmm. So you'd get like a circular in the mail, or you'd go to get a catalog, and you know you could see all their latest clothes and the spring fashions, and then of course the holidays would be rolling around, so you could get holiday products. And
that's amazing.
That was before Amazon. That was Amazon.
That was the Amazon. Yeah. Of the day,
which it was actual physical, and you can turn the pages, and
you can actually have, but you had something tangible though,
right?
Which is like, I feel like that novelty, like, is like not like it won't be present in like future generations.
No, it's gone. It's already gone.
Because like I know physical, like the physical took longer to circulate through everybody, but like, at least you had something tangible. At least you had that tangible aspect of, okay, I have something tangible. I can look at something tangible in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with all digital, you have it on your Kindle and everything. It's there, but you don't – that sense of tangibility and ownership over what you're looking at isn't there, right?
Flicking through pages.
Yeah, it's like –
that's
like
a lost art.
Yeah, isn't that I bet it feels nostalgic for you as
yes,
well.
Yes, I'm old.
Yeah. I mean, hey, like we all have different things we grew up with, mm-hmm. and like we all have those memories that we cherish throughout our childhood. Like I know back in the 90s, the big thing, or early 2000s when I was super young – the big thing was like DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Like 99, like late 90s, early 2000, DVDs were like first coming out, and like MP3, the first runs of MP3. This was like pre-iPod or iPod 1. And I remember that was huge. I was like 8 or 9 at the time. And like, and everyone's like, oh, look at my MP3 player. Nowadays, we can use our telephones with it. Like,
it's amazing.
And it's just interesting how technology
changes so fast. Like,
right now,
like, I have an iPhone 10.
Yeah.
This thing's going to be outdated by next year, probably.
Yeah. And okay, iPhone 10. And there are different models, too. There's the 10X, right?
10X, right.
And there's the 10. Is it 10R? Right?
I don't know.
They're different models. But, like, the thing is, with innovation, like, you have to really think outside the box, because you don't know how, like, if you make something really good, right? If you make something amazing, like, and then after a few years, you don't know how to top that. Let's say you want to make a new thing that's amazing, but how can you top something that's already good? Like, how can you, because like people get used to the new thing. It's like, okay, they don't want to buy the same thing over again. So how could, like, how as a manufacturer can you improve on what you've done in the past? And that's something manufacturers have to like solve constantly.
Right. They got to be on top of it.
They have to be on top of it, mm-hmm. or else they go out of business, right?
Quick too.
Quick, because like, and the thing is, you have to find new ways to innovate. By the way, like, okay, I was watching another interest of mine is entrepreneurship, and I was watching this one YouTube video of an entrepreneur. Have you guys heard of Alex Becker? Have you heard?
I haven't. No.
He's a popular entrepreneur. He's
podcaster too.
Yeah, he does podcasts, uh-huh. but he has like he's 30, but he has like he's a millionaire. He has millions of dollars. He's run like so many businesses. And he just turned 30 this year. He's like one of the youngest entrepreneurs. He's very famous on YouTube. And he was saying that the next big thing is AI mm-hmm. and data entry, like AI. Like he said that within the next 5 to 10 years, social media is going to be on a decline because like machine learning and AI are going to like completely put it out of business. He said that. With AI, like, have you heard of voice recognition? Like,
yep.
You just say something and it happens, or you give a signal and that thing happens right away.
It's scary and creepy,
like,
but yes.
It's coming. Yeah. Like, he
it's
said,
already here.
Yeah, it's already here.
AI is definitely already here.
Yeah.
I mean, you can feel it just on the phone. Like, sometimes I'll have a conversation yeah. with my girl, and yeah. we'll talk about something, and I'll be like, oh, I want to look that up.
Yeah.
And I just start pressing in a couple of the letters, and it just appears.
It just
because
appears.
It's listening to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And so, like, that's, like, Alex Becker. You guys can check him out on YouTube. He's an amazing entrepreneur. Alex Becker said that the next big trend is AI. But
what's AI? How is AI going to take over social media?
Though? Oh, easy. Okay, because you know how social media is visual?
Uh-huh.
And you want to, like, let's say you want to message someone or you want to interact with someone. You type it in, right? Right? You type it in. You have a platform. With AI, your machine can just do it like that. Like it, you like, let's say based on your on the browsing history or based on what you've signaled to it in the past, the machine would automatically do it. Like, why do you need to have so many apps when the machine can easily do it for you? Or like, let's say with machine learning and voice recognition, because we do have voice recognition, like Siri or like on your phone, like when you say something
mm-hmm.
on your phone, it's like, and then the phone responds to you.
Alexa.
Like, yeah, Alexa. Yes, Alexa. That's Siri, Alexa. I think, yeah, Alexa. When you say something on your phone, right, and then it responds to you, right, and it does it automatically. And there's so much data entry involved. Like the manufacturers or the innovators, the data scientists, there's so much data entry involved and so much coding involved, advanced coding, like supercomputer level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't taken the market yet, but it's going to take the market in like 5 to 10 years.
When you speak data entry, where are you when it comes to blockchain?
Blockchain. Okay, so blockchain in what aspect?
And well, in many different aspects, because mm-hmm. this is a new technology that's
yeah.
really starting to come out.
Oh yeah,
and I start to see some companies really starting to take to blockchain. Pretty much what it is like a
exactly.
like a, it's a data entry ledger type of thing. You know, mm-hmm. it just keeps track of everything. And, you know, it's kind of
yes.
the basic principle of cryptocurrency
absolutely.
And stuff like that.
Right? Absolutely.
So where are you as far as like blockchain? Is this something that you get behind?
Oh yeah. Okay. So with blockchain. Like, I love blockchain. I love it. But the thing is, regulation is going to slow it down tremendously.
And it already has.
It already has.
It has.
So, like, with regulation, like, the thing is, it's kind of like a, the best way I can put it is, like there, regulation and innovation are always playing catch-up with each other. So with each new regulation, the people who innovate with blockchain are going to find new ways around it. They're always going to find new ways around it. So like
around the regulation
mm-hmm. to further innovation and advancement in this area, because if blockchain becomes super mainstream, a lot of the currencies we have today and a lot of the government regulations, they won't apply anymore. Like more people are going to be using blockchains.
Right.
And so then the government, this can open up a huge can of worms because the government will like, okay, how do we tax these people? What do we do? Like, because it can be government impacting. But I love blockchain because of the innovation, because it makes people think, okay. And like I said, I love entrepreneurship too. So like, I follow entrepreneurs and I follow blockchain. If you combine the two together, it's gonna open up so many different opportunities mm-hmm. in entrepreneurship. And like, and literally with, and this is amazing. This is interesting, guys. There's so many entrepreneurs today that they just make money from their cell phone. They
right.
just use their
cell phone. Lay in bed all day.
And they just make, they make millions.
Yeah.
Because they found a way to innovate. They know that how the cell phone the cell phone money exchange system works, mm-hmm. and with blockchain it's gonna just increase.
Do you hold any cryptocurrency?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Did you get rid of it when it crashed?
I got rid of it, but there are some specific ones that I kept.
Okay.
I have to double check because it's been about a year since okay. I checked on those. I got to check the market.
It boomed last year. It boomed. And that's when yeah. I jumped into it. And I still hold a bunch of crypto.
You do? Which ones do you hold?
Litecoin.
Litecoin, okay.
I love Litecoin. I got a bunch of that. Yes. I hold some Ripple.
Oh, yeah, I have Ripple too.
I have some Ripple. Bitcoin, of course. Yes. Ethereum. Yeah. I have a bunch, and I just let it sit there. Well, I have it on a ledger, like a little crypto. What's it called? I forgot what the hell the name is.
Oh.
Cryptid Ledger. It's
exchange.
On like a thumb drive type of thing.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So you just kind of keep it there and put it in a safe. And like the market got, yes. they are trying to bring this market down big time. But actually, if you've noticed, I don't know if you're paying attention to the trends though, but the cryptocurrency is starting to make an increase again.
It's
starting to boom again.
Ellen
DeGeneres has been promoting the hell out of Ripple. And now also Litecoin, UFC has been promoting Litecoin. If you notice in some of the UFC rings nowadays in the cages, you'll see a Litecoin symbol in the ring now. And then they're also advertising Litecoin. Mm-hmm. Like, Litecoin is the official cryptocurrency of the UFC.
Whoa.
Like, they're doing that. So it's starting to get into the public eye a little bit more. Where before they were knocking it down, everybody jumped on it. It was like a whole wave, and everybody wanted to get rich quick type of thing.
Exactly.
They jumped on it.
It was a huge bubble.
It definitely burst. And then that's the big guy trying to knock it all down. But it's coming back.
Exactly.
And it's definitely, it's a future technology that people are going to definitely be jumping on.
Just imagine that technology with AI, with machine learning. Like,
scary, actually.
It's amazing because like let's say, okay, you know how we have all these apps that we have to go to and scroll to?
Yeah.
Just imagine you have this system in your house that can do it automatically
mm-hmm.
without even having to go to an app.
Just by talking
or just by doing like motion sensors
mm-hmm.
and motion recognition. Like let's say I go to my house. This is just an example. I'm speculating, guys. This is speculation. Let's say 10 years down the road, right? Let's say in like 2028. When technology is insane, I go into my house, I snap my fingers, and it just plays YouTube automatically. Or I go like and the machine learning in my house knows that cue. So when I snap my fingers, this is just a rough example. It can play whatever I set it to automatically, and I don't even have to go to an app, and
mm-hmm.
I don't even have to go on Facebook. Let's say I have cryptocurrency, right? And I want to check my cryptocurrency. I could just say cryptocurrency on. This is an example. And the AI can just pull it up right there. This is why I say AI and machine learning and all of this is eventually, it might not be next year or 2 years or 3 years, but maybe 10 to 20 years. It's eventually going to put social media out of business. Eventually. It's going to take long. Because like everything, I know social media is visual. But like it's not automatic. You have to do stuff. Like it's convenient. We have it. It's very convenient. It's like with social media, you can reach millions of people just through the touch of a button. But imagine if you don't even need to touch a button to do that. You can just do it with your own voice or with your own movement, with motion sensors. Like it's AI and machine learning is coming. Like
it's here. It's already here.
It's already here. I know there's so many, and this goes back to gaming. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but
we always do,
But thanks, man. But this goes back to gaming too, where it's like Everything's all digital and AI and everything. Because, like, I know, like, with gaming, you have to, like, before, you would have to go to a physical store and buy a physical copy of a game. Even up until, like, 2013 or 2014, you could go. But now people are just purchasing their game digitally because it's easy. You don't have to go. And so all of these, like, physical stores are soon going to be out of business within the next 5 to 10 years because everybody's buying their games digitally. Right?
Isn't there going to be a network of games, though, that you could just go sign onto a network and you could play any game? Kind of like a subscription. Based as Microsoft. In like a Netflix type of principle.
That's what Microsoft is doing.
That's what they're doing now.
That's their game plan.
Okay.
You see, Microsoft is thinking 5 years. Like Microsoft right now, I know Sony is like, and this is another tangent, by the way. I know Sony is like dominating the video game market right now. Sony is dominating, but the thing is, Microsoft is thinking ahead though. Microsoft is starting to make all these relationships between like smaller developers, Nintendo, like Microsoft is going to Nintendo and putting their games on multiple platforms, on their Nintendo platforms now, because like Cuphead is coming to the Nintendo Switch next week, right? And that's a Microsoft exclusive, but they want to make it available as to much platforms. So like Microsoft is thinking ahead because it's seeing the trends. Like you, like as Microsoft in their business, they have to follow the trends. And the reason why I say this is because they're seeing the value in subscription-based service.
Mm-hmm.
So like, so Sony's all about the hardware. Sony's all about the hardware. Like there's the specs, the how many gigabytes of RAM does their console have? Like the power of their hardware. Microsoft is all about the service. And which is better in the long run, because if you have all your games on different platforms that people can subscribe to, right? And like, let's say I have a Nintendo Switch, I can buy a Microsoft game. Microsoft makes money off of subscription. Or I have like a tablet, I can buy a Microsoft game on that. Or I put all my games on multiple platforms, right? And people can easily subscribe and buy it. That's better for Microsoft in the long run. That's going to be huge profits for Microsoft. Sony is winning right now, but like they're not thinking ahead.
Uh-huh.
They are not thinking ahead. So Microsoft is going to win the next generation.
So that's how it's going to go, more of a subscription base.
And Microsoft knows that.
All right, question for you. How has AI changed the video game circuit?
AI. Okay. Let's see. Because I know technology and cell phones and video games overlap nowadays. Because now you can't talk about video games without talking about cell phones.
True.
And you can game on your cell phone. And the thing is, you have certain, like, I know there's AI. And the thing is, a lot of these things overlap. So with AI, with virtual reality, with those, you know, Oculus Rift. Have you guys heard of Oculus Rift before?
Yeah.
Okay, with Oculus Rift, with HTC Vive, with
augmented reality?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
With the Sony, virtual reality.
Yeah.
With all three. AI is going to play a huge role, because just imagine if I'm in a virtual reality game and I don't even have to there are still going to be button inputs, right?
Uh-huh.
But with some features, I can just say something, or I can just signal to the game that I want this to happen, and it just boots it up automatically.
Insane.
With AI and virtual reality, that's huge. And also just imagine like you have AI and you can game on your cell phone. And let's say I'm gaming on my cell phone. And by the way, cell phones are going to be super powerful in the next generation.
They already are.
Yeah, but they're going to be like almost as powerful as consoles next generation. Just imagine I'm playing a game on my cell phone, right? I'm playing a game on my cell phone and I want to chat with a friend. I can just say chat on. It chats with my friend instantly. I'm playing a game on my cell phone, right? I can say, oh my God, I need to check my cryptocurrency account. I can say cryptocurrency on. While I'm playing the game and I'm doing virtual reality, I can just check my cryptocurrency right there. Or I can just, if I'm looking at a screen and I don't have virtual reality, I can just say, okay, I want to check my,
Insane.
Whatever, or I want to watch a YouTube video while I'm playing a game. And I can do that just by virtual reality and machine learning. It's coming. I don't know if it's going to come in the next 5 years. I don't know how long, but it's coming. And I know that there are so many, hurdles that society needs to jump over, and the whole industry needs to jump over and solve before we reach that point, because the internet speeds are so inconsistent depending on where you go to. So, like, let's say I'm in the middle of nowhere and the internet speeds are terrible, right? I might not, like, the wireless connectivity might impede on my experience, on my Wi-Fi experience. So, like, let's say you go to, I don't know, what's a place with bad internet? Do you know?
You mean locally?
Anyway.
You go out to, like, the middle of the woods somewhere around here, like, so Boonville,
like,
or something.
Like, has this ever happened to, or do you know, or there are some people with terrible internet speeds. So, like, let's say they want to download something. They can't because their internet speeds is bad, and that's how it is worldwide. So somebody has to solve that internet speed problem before we really see a huge boom in, like, machine learning and game streaming and everything like that. And also the future of gaming is subscription-based, and it's also going to be streaming-based, where people stream their games instead of purchasing their games. So people can just stream it off of subscription service. So that's how it is, as long as you have the internet bandwidth and the internet speeds. And which is why...
And it'd be easier to play somebody, too, that way,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You can just stream your games, and you're on a subscription. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't really own the game, but you have the subscription, so you're streaming the game. So
but then somebody else can log in to the same account, and you can play each other type of thing.
Just imagine with AI, you don't have to go through the hoops. You can just... It recognizes your voice.
And just talk to
you
it.
You just talk to it, and it logs you in. That's insane. Mm-hmm. And it can be 20 years. It may be 10. It could be 20. But it's gonna happen in our lifetime, and it's gonna be huge.
What about augmented reality? Have you played anything on augmented reality?
Give me an example.
Well, I was recently in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, and I was hanging out the fan experience, and the guy came up to me with an iPad, and we were in the middle of the fan. We were in the Super Bowl store, the official NFL Super Bowl store, right?
Wow.
And he came up to me with an iPad, and in it. Like, he had his camera on, so you could see the store where we're at. But inside this store, on his iPad, we were kicking field goals. But we weren't kicking field goals inside the store. We were doing it off his iPad. But the background was where we were in the store.
Oh, yes.
So you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Okay, so, like, a lot of this, like, measuring tape, you know the measuring tape on your phone?
Yes.
That's augmented reality as well.
Oh, okay.
You know how you can measure things off your iPhone?
Like, I know that. It's like the QR. Like QR.
QR.
Yes,
exactly.
I know QR. Yes.
Exactly.
And it's similar to green screen technology.
Yes.
Like, we have a green screen right here, and it's similar to that technology. And just that, I've done augmented reality a lot before, like with the QR. There are so many QR apps on your phone you can do, especially on Android, on Nintendo consoles. Nintendo's handheld devices have augmented reality on it.
Oh, do they? Yeah, the Game Boy?
The Switch, even because the Switch is a hybrid.
See, I'm old. I remember the Game Boy.
The Game Boy. I mean,
is that still a thing?
It's a thing, but we've advanced to the point where it's like we've gone beyond the Game Boy at this point. I know the Nintendo Switch. It's both. You can take it with you. It's both a hybrid between a home console and a portable, so you can do both.
Okay.
And you can do augmented reality because it's a hybrid between portable and home console.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's Nintendo DS, which came before that, which was the most recent one before the Switch, and it has augmented reality. And the Nintendo DS is like an upgraded version of the Game Boy. Just imagine a Game Boy with two screens.
Yeah, insane. But see, the augmented reality, like, you can take it anywhere with you and set up a game wherever you are.
Exactly.
And play whatever game that you can. Like, we can have a Donkey Kong game sitting right here.
Exactly. We can. And with AI, it's just voice recognition.
It's
just
insane.
Voice recognition.
That's insane.
It's going to take, it's going to, from what, because I follow trends all the time.
Yeah.
I follow trends in gaming and technology all the time. And it could take 20 years, but AI is going to make social media diminish and eventually go away. Like, within the next 20, 30 years.
Really?
AI is going to.
So let me ask you something. So how is AI going to promote my concert that I got going on?
Okay, AI.
Without having social media or any of that.
Okay.
So I'm having a concert 20 years from now, and how am I going to promote it using AI?
Yeah, you would just say, like, voice recognition. Just say, hey, I want to promote this. Like, I want to promote this concert to this group of people.
Okay.
Right? I would say, here's my target demographic. Here's where I want to promote it. It's going to promote it for you.
And then what's it going to shoot them, like a hologram poster or something like that?
Depending
or
on what the technology is.
Okay.
It can be visual on their screen. Uh-huh. It can be like, there can be so many like screen outlets. Like, you know those big screens on in New York City? Those big...
Like in Times Square?
In like Times Square.
The advertisements and stuff.
Like where it's like a video screens, big giant video screens in Times Square. You know those? Like in big cities, you have all these big screens, right? Like I would bet, or I wouldn't, what's it called? What's the word? I'm trying to think of the word. I could imagine where you have this big promotion and you have this new concert. You're like, oh my gosh. And depending on the advertising rate or how much you're willing to pay at the time, you'd be like, hey, I want to promote this in Times Square. Can you please do it? Or you could say, you wouldn't say please. It's like, hey, machine, or hey,
connect me to the people.
Connect me to the people in Times Square. Uh-huh. You just say it, and it connects you to Times Square.
Wow,
depending on the advertising rates or the internet bandwidth, or there's so many factors. But if you have those factors in place, you would just say it, and it's going to promote it to Times Square.
Insane.
And it's that's one rough example, and this is according to entrepreneurs I follow on YouTube all the time. And it's huge. It's huge.
Let me ask you something, too. You were talking about how this is going to be a monster in the next few years.
Yes.
Well, soon you're going to have holograms coming out of here.
Exactly.
That's where the technology is going with your cell phones. You're going to have a hologram. Like, you can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, are you a Star Wars fan?
Yes.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Yes.
Okay, you know how they would have
We're going to talk about Star Wars in a bit. We're going to talk about Star Wars in a bit.
You do know how they have the Jedi Council, and then all of a sudden Mace Windu would pop up as a hologram or Yoda or somebody like that.
Yeah.
That's where these are going to, too.
Exactly.
And you know, they're going to have holographic...
Oh, my God. This is going to be amazing, guys. This is going to be amazing.
I love your excitement.
Especially with technology. I love technology.
And then
I
you get to see like sporting games through a hologram, or even porn will be through a hologram.
Exactly. They already have it. And then they already have like, virtual reality.
Yeah, of course.
Virtual reality made the porn industry explode.
Okay.
Just imagine so with porn, you're watching porn on your phone, right? If you have your virtual reality, right? It's like you're there.
It puts you on the set.
It puts you on the set with it's huge. It's already a huge industry.
Because they do that now with porn. Like they have the 3D cameras.
They have the 3D cameras. Like you're in VR. You're immersed. Like VR, virtual reality. Okay, so guys, this is story time with Bowie, right? I was at this was in 2016. In 2016, I went to a science and technology conference in Boston, Massachusetts, which is one of the epicenters for science and engineering. Boston, Massachusetts. I went there. There was a huge exhibit, right? There was a huge virtual reality exhibit where you get to try on the virtual reality. The virtual reality headset that you can try, it was like you do a virtual tour of these science plant and the science plant in China. So they were doing the most expensive virtual reality called the HTC Vive. It's like $500+ for this. It was very expensive at the time. It was like, because virtual reality was huge. And as soon as I put on that virtual reality headset, it was as if I was actually at their science and technology plant in China.
Wow.
It was as if I was actually there, and I got to see all their bioreactors.
And people were moving and working and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was as if I was there. It was insane. I felt like I was so that was mind-blowing to me. Virtual reality is
do you own a virtual reality mask?
It's expensive.
Yeah, they are.
I don't own one, but I don't own it, but I follow trends.
Like Oculus or something
Oculus,
like that.
There's Oculus Rift. By the way, the most famous virtual reality, Oculus Rift,
mm-hmm.
HTC Vive. The Sony one, the PlayStation virtual reality, PlayStation VR. That's Sony's virtual reality. And then Microsoft has one too. I forgot the name of the Microsoft one. So those are the big four. And then Nintendo is coming up with their own virtual reality.
Oh, right. I heard about that.
And, it's like it's in the same style as their Nintendo Labo series for kids, but like it's like it's stylized in a way where you can like put it on and it's like it's super immersive.
So let me get this straight. If Nintendo puts this virtual reality mask out, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be on the set of say Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
Like you're going to be running around.
It's going to feel
like you're really yes. on there yes. and like Donkey Kong yes. and all that and there yes. you're
exactly.
That's insane.
It's technology is amazing. Like it's insane.
It really it's really gets you out of reality.
Exactly. It yeah. legit It legit does. And like we were saying, that's like the porn industry exploded.
Uh-huh.
It exploded with virtual reality. It's insane. It just their profits doubled over like the next year.
Now, how soon before these hologram comes out with your phone and
yes.
stuff like that? How
yes.
soon do you think that's going to happen?
Oh,
help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Yes, yes. We got to talk about. I'm dead serious. We got to talk about Star Wars next.
I'm a diehard.
Like I'm a diehard too. Oh my God. I don't know where to start with this. Okay. So after the virtual reality one, I'm gonna segue back to like. To my background in esports as well, too.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Like, there's so much.
But holograms. How soon do you think these holograms are going to come out on your phone?
Because
it's right around the corner, don't you think?
I'd say 15, 20 years.
I think it's even sooner than that.
Even sooner.
Yeah.
Depending, like, because with innovation, depending on the way things are going, there's going to be regulation. So, like, governments are going to want to regulate it.
Of course.
And I know, like, places like China and North Korea, they're very stringent. On what you do, like what you can post, like what you do on social media. They're very stringent in China, but not as stringent as North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Not as stringent as North Korea, but I digress. But like my point is that with every innovation, there's going to be regulation. There's going to be government regulation.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a government reaction to it, depending on what government in the world you're talking about. Because remember, we're talking about internet. We're talking post-internet society. So, like, everything's always global. Everything's always on a global scale,
mm-hmm.
especially with social media. And then with the further advancement with AI, everything's going to be further globalized. So, with that, there's going to be different government regulations around the world. Because I know, like, when you said with blockchain, I know China and India, right? China and India had huge regulation reaction against blockchain.
China pretty much got rid of it.
China,
but they brought it back.
They brought it back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there are a lot of what you would call it, black markets in China.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it is. I don't know why it's a lot. There's a lot of it in China and India. I don't know why there is, but there's a lot of black markets in China where there whenever there's government regulations, a lot of people engage in black markets so that they can do a workaround those regulations in China and India. So it's like I said, it's like that. Playing catch up, whenever there's a new innovation, there's regulation. Whenever there's regulation, people find ways to work around the innovation and exploit the holes, but they exploit legal loopholes, so that they can work around that regulation. And it's just interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there's with blockchain and AI. It's going to impact the way we do business and money.
Oh yeah,
because we have
transactions,
especially on PayPal and eBay and Amazon. And just imagine if they have AI too, their own AI system, and there's Google Pay as well. The way we do transactions, and then you have blockchain with AI, and they integrate the two. Just imagine how it's going to grow. It's going to grow amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to grow. Anything new in the comment section, by the way?
Yeah, but a couple here and there. Do you know what a Walkman is? I wanted to ask you
Oh,
this.
Do I know? Oh, yes, of course.
You do?
I know what a Walkman is. I know.
What's
a
Walkman?
It's like a big, huge listening, like a cassette tape. You have those like cassette
yeah.
tapes. I know what a Walkman is.
Okay.
Like, I remember, and I know like, because like the thing is, I was born in like the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
So like I know what it is. I've seen old 90s shows with the Prince of Bel-Air.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. Saved by the Bell.
And Saved by the Bell. And they had Walkmans.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They had Walkmans.
Or Discmans. Do you know
Discmans.
What a Discman? Yeah.
Yes, they had it.
Okay.
And I was super young at the time, though. I was super young.
So somebody wanted to know if you knew what a Walkman was.
Yeah, I know what it is, but okay. I never actually owned one.
Right on.
So I know what they are, and a lot of the things, like I know the history because I'm a tech nerd, right? I love technology. I know a lot about technology. So like, I know the history of a lot of these things. I just never owned these things because it was before my time. Mm-hmm. I've just never like actually owned it.
Have you ever been through like a thrift store to see some old relics?
I think I might have seen. I mean, I've seen it.
Well, that's one thing you should do this year too, is go to the antique fair every year at Madison Balkville.
Which one? Like,
there, it's like 20 minutes away, 25 minutes away. Okay. It's south of here.
Do
it's
you
called
know
Madison.
What they do?
Yeah, it's always in August, in the middle August. Of August, and they have
antique
an antique. It's
fair.
For like 2 weeks.
Okay,
and you
fair
can go.
Okay.
And you go in, you check out all the antiques
beautiful.
And see what they got to offer, and you'll see some old relics and stuff from memory lane, that's for sure.
Whoa.
Let's back up though. We'll talk about your esports background.
All right. So like I said, when my cousin, when we put Super Smash Brothers in the Nintendo 64,
uh-huh.
everything was history has been made. So I was I love Smash Brothers.
Life-changing experience.
And then like the new so in 01 the new Smash Brothers game came out, right? The new Smash Brothers, the second installment of the series, Super Smash Brothers Melee for the Nintendo GameCube. All-time favorite, best, one of the best video games of all time. All-time tournament, like people play in tournament. And this game came out in 01. This game came out back in 01, and people play in tournaments today.
You play in tournaments.
I play it. I play it at tournaments.
Yeah.
And this is the most
popular. Have you ever placed in any of these tournaments?
Oh, I've placed fourth in some of the tournaments.
Have you really?
Yeah,
nice.
Fourth.
And out of like thousands or?
Out of like 20 plus people.
Okay.
Like, because I've been to locals and regionals.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had the opportunity to go to nationals yet because like you have to go pay for your flights and everything.
Yeah, it gets expensive.
It gets expensive. I haven't had the opportunity to go to nationals, but at these locals and regionals, I've placed fourth, third and fourth. And because it's super competitive. Super competitive.
You can make money though off
yes,
this stuff.
You can.
These kids are making millions of dollars playing
God.
Video games.
Like, you know, there's Mango. Like Mango has made, he's one of the best Smash Brothers players in the world. He's made over like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Do you communicate with him?
Oh, I haven't had the opportunity to communicate, but I go on his Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
I go on his Twitch all the time and I interact with him on Twitch. He streams constantly and he's built himself up to the point where he's a Twitch influencer,
mm-hmm.
where he doesn't need to go to as much tournaments. He just has a following on Twitch.
And he just makes money off Twitch.
Just makes money off Twitch.
And YouTube, probably.
And YouTube. Uh-huh. And YouTube, because he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. People want to talk to him. Like, he's like the best. And there's Armada, too, where I know a lot of the best Smash Brothers players. Like, there's Armada, there's Mango, Hungrybox, and all these top players. They've built themselves up to the point where they don't need to go to as many tournaments because it's streaming.
Yeah.
It's like they stream. They stream a lot. And then there's Ninja in the Fortnite franchise. Ninja.
Gotcha.
Ninja is the most have people in the comments heard of Ninja?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, Ninja. Okay. You know Ninja, right?
No.
Okay. He's the best, you know Fortnite, right?
I've heard of it, yeah.
He's the best Fortnite player in the world.
Okay.
He makes $500,000 a month.
So how do they make $500 a month?
Yes.
So how do they make money, though? Is it through sponsorships? Is it through streaming? It's like
sponsorships, ads on streaming.
Okay.
And then with the ads, they have their view and their viewership numbers are insane.
Mm-hmm.
So they have high number of viewership. They have huge viewership numbers. And with the viewership numbers, they make a lot of money on ads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so whenever they stream.
So YouTube monetizes it for them? And
Twitch, rather? Yeah, Twitch.
And then people can also donate
Yeah, people can donate. And, uh-huh. and or, okay, just let's add up the entire list.
Okay.
They have, so millions of people watch it. Millions of people. They get donations from millions of people. So we're just adding it up.
Okay.
So they get donations from millions of people. And then with millions of people, you have high viewership. So they make a lot of money on ads because a lot of people view and click on the ads. So they have and they have ads on their stream. So millions of people donate ads, right? And then they have sponsorship deals on top of that. So
now, what kind of sponsorship deals? If you're playing a video game, who's your sponsor, for instance?
Okay, let's say I'm playing a video game. I'm on Twitch, right? And let's say Red Bull sponsors me, right? So let's say I'm on Twitch and on my Twitch streams, I always have a can of Red Bull just chilling, just drinking. And so like people see that and people are like, oh my God, that's because it's all subconscious. Like I don't mean to delve deep into it. But
and see,
like,
I didn't realize if there was like, so it's like an energy drink or maybe
it can be anything.
It could be anything. Okay.
It could be anything.
I didn't know if there was anything that kind of ties in with the whole gaming world. So anything that would tie in.
A lot of energy drinks. Okay. Like let's say this podcast is sponsored by Nintendo in the future. Let's say Nintendo really likes our podcast and they want to sponsor us, right? Mm-hmm. And Nintendo is a huge giant in the gaming industry. Let's say Nintendo wants to sponsor us in the future, right? Let's say I can have a Nintendo T-shirt on our podcast,
something in the background.
I could have let's say
you talk about them
exactly. Mm-hmm. And let's say I'm a top Smash Brothers player, and I have a new controller that I use at Nintendo events, right? And Nintendo's my sponsor. Let's say on a podcast, I'm gonna be like, "Hey guys, this is the new controller I use. Check it out. You guys can check out Nintendo on their website. Here's a website. Check it out. I use this controller, and it's helped me when I practice for so many tournaments, right? And I'm promoting their controller.
Yeah. I got you. So a lot of these gaming consoles will pay you too. Yeah. But you have to have millions, though. Millions of viewers.
You got to have a following.
Yeah, there's definitely a criteria for them.
And there are different thresholds. So, mm-hmm. So for the big sponsors, for the big sponsors, you got to have a huge following. Mm-hmm. But for the lesser big, is that a word? For the not so big sponsors, it's still huge, but you don't have to have as huge of a following.
Right.
So it depends on who's sponsoring you.
From millions to hundreds of thousands.
Yes, exactly. And depending on who it is and depending on the sponsorship deal these Twitch streamers use, mm-hmm. That's how they can make money off of it. And also, if you're a Twitch partner, Twitch pays you. There's a partnership agreement. So, like, if you have a certain number of viewers and a certain number of daily and monthly views on stream, you become a Twitch partner on top of that. So, like, Twitch
gives you another revenue stream.
Yeah, another revenue stream. So, the thing is, it's all because of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology, like... And this is another aspect, because like I follow entrepreneurship as well. Technology has provided so many people new innovative ways to make money, new innovative legal ways mm-hmm. to make money online. It's insane. It's insane.
I can see some of these cannabis companies getting involved with a lot of these gamings and sponsors. Are you starting to see anybody in the cannabis industry getting into gaming industry and backing them up?
I haven't seen it. Maybe I haven't just. I just haven't.
Because there are a lot of stoners that play video games.
Exactly. Exactly. And
I could see a lot of the people in the cannabis industry trying to take to it, or even promoting themselves on one of these streams or something.
I haven't really followed streamers that had.
I'm sure there is, right?
I'm sure there are. Yeah. I'm sure there are, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet because maybe I just haven't caught their stream yet, or mm-hmm. maybe I haven't tuned in when they do stream.
Right.
My schedule just hasn't aligned with when they do stream, but I know there are some.
Yeah.
There are, especially since like cannabis is becoming more and more like widespread and legalized throughout the world, mm-hmm. not just the U.S., the world. And it's huge.
Indeed.
Because like there's so many, like technology has brought up so many opportunities, like so many opportunities in general in gaming, in music,
yeah,
in like
financial business,
yeah, in movies. Like the way we watch movies is like mainly Netflix, right? Is Netflix like 10
or some
years,
sort of streaming service?
Like 20 years ago, we didn't have that.
No,
we didn't have it.
Yeah, Netflix. You had to pay for cable.
Exactly, you got to pay for cable. Now I don't even use cable.
Me neither.
I just stream on internet. I just stream on Netflix.
Is that what you do?
I just do Netflix. Yeah.
So you don't watch any local programming at all?
Local, like on YouTube or
just local programming, like say like a WKTV or something like that.
I don't.
No,
I just watch everything online.
Everything's online.
Mm-hmm. And then if I'm watching everything online, could you imagine what my kids would be watching online?
Yeah.
If I like when I do have kids, like the next generation is gonna have it made. I'm telling you, the next generation is going to see a huge boom in technology.
Absolutely. But it's going to make people more lazy, though, don't you think?
It depends in what way.
I think it is.
Because, like, the thing is that...
I think these are making people lazy to begin with. Nobody's going outside or nobody's...
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's socially awkward now because of these things.
Yeah, for kids. Like, the thing is, kids... and that's another thing. That's another avenue. Like, parenting. Like, and I'm not a parent, so this is just what I've seen people do. Like... Parenting is going to be interesting because how do you, like, I know kids are going to be exposed to technology, but how do parents, monitor their kids so that they're not, they're still experiencing the benefits of technology, the learning benefits of it, but they're not being exposed to, like, the dark side of it as
well.
Yeah. Like, Star Wars, dark side. So so they're not being... Darth Vader up there. Oh, yeah. I love that. So
I guess Stormtrooper right
there. Oh, shoot. Stormtrooper. See? Tangent right there. But I love it. I love the Stormtrooper. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so the dark side. The dark side of it. So, like, parents have to, like... And parenting in, like, 2030 is going to be so interesting because... Because I'm the type of person who loves to study trends. Whatever it is, I love trends. So, like, let's say there's something, like, I love studying the trends of Star Wars. I love studying the trends of whatever it is. It can be, I always look at trends and see where it's going to be, like, what are the trends and what's going to be dominant in whatever market, right? So parenting in 2030 is going to be insane, right? It's going to be interesting because you have all this technology that's vying for your attention. Like we were talking about the attention span of people just before the podcast.
Just before we started, yeah.
Yeah, and the attention span of people here, like in 2019 is 15 seconds. In 08 it was like 30 to 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So within the span of 10 to 11 years, right? The attention span of people halved because of social media, right? Which is why, like, advertising on social media through advertisements, like, advertisers struggle because there are so many ads bombarding people that they ignore the ads.
Mm-hmm.
So they ignore it.
Right, skip ahead.
They skip ahead because there's so many ads. Like, it's kind of like when...
It becomes an inconvenience after a while. You're exactly. Like, I don't want to see this. And then people are paying for the adless free subscriptions,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, and it's kind of like, you remember, I wouldn't say I've been able to remember. I was super young. But, like, remember when car alarms first came out?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, so when people heard a car alarm, people were very attentive. They were like, oh, my God, who's being burglarized? But now, since so many people have them and they go on all the time, people ignore it.
Right.
Even if there is a burglary in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, because there's so much... There's so many car alarms just booming at you that you just become oblivious to because it's like, okay, I'm used to it, right?
Because everybody's got them.
All the time. Everyone's
right?
got them.
That's all.
So it's kind of like, when you're, this is a very hypothetical case. Well, it's not hypothetical. It's an example.
Uh-huh.
It's a hypothetical example. Let's say I go visit a friend in the countryside, right? And I'm in the countryside. And I'm not used to hearing crickets at night, right? And I'm sleeping. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't sleep because of this cricket, right? After a while, like, let's say I grew up in the countryside, right? And I'm sleeping, and I hear crickets all the time. Eventually, it's gonna be relaxing to me because I'm like, I'm used to hearing crickets all the time. I hear it all the time, and I love it because I'm going to love the cricket sound because it's going to put me to sleep because mm-hmm. I'm used to it, right? So it's kind of like that exposure. So, like, if you have so many things on social media bombarding your attention, you're going to have a short attention span.
Yeah.
Which is why it's going to be interesting to see how the kids of tomorrow, like, how they're going to, like, how their attention span is going to be.
It's probably going to be less than 15 seconds.
It's going to be 10. It's going to be 10 seconds, 5 seconds.
Yeah,
we got it.
Amazing. I feel like it's 5 seconds now. If you notice nowadays, like a lot of these advertisers are only doing 5 second clips
exactly.
or 10 second clips. It's really exactly. quick to the point, especially on YouTube. You see that a lot. But also, what you see on YouTube too are those 2, 3, 5 minute long advertisements, exactly. too. It turns into more of an infomercial, too. So you've got both sides of the spectrum. You've got the 5-10 minute long advertisement, as well as like the 5-10 second, 15 second advertisement as well.
Of course.
It's crazy. So you mentioned, too, like the kids of tomorrow.
Yeah, the kids of tomorrow.
Not going to have any attention span whatsoever.
They're not. They're going to have 10 seconds, 5 seconds. If that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to be ADD. Everybody's going to be ADD,
man. Exactly. And also, like, and also, this, which is why shorter ads, like, what people do is they have shorter ads, and then they use the shorter ads to filter, like, it's kind of like a funnel, right? I've heard of, it's like a funnel. Like, when you, like, you know, when you see a funnel, it starts off very broad in the beginning, and it goes very specific. So it's like a click funnel. And this is why I said I follow trends all the time. So what people do nowadays, they have smaller ads, right? They have shorter, like 5-second ads, and they're like click, or they're like, here's the link for more information on the ads. And so like they strategically put it on places where people are just swiping or people are just skimming through. They put it strategically. Advertisers do it. Like maybe Instagram stories. Instagram stories is a huge way,
huge for
shorter ads. And so once they put the shorter ads, they have either a link or they have like a swipe up or they have a, some sort of cue to say swipe up or click for more information. And so, but when they do that, they make the smaller ads as engaging as possible within that 15 seconds of time frame. And then people would click on it. And so they would have a higher click-through rate because it's shorter, it's straight to the point, and it's, like, engaging within that first 15 minutes. And so then people click on it for more information, and so they would see a longer video with a longer ad that's, like you said, the five-minute ad. You said
right,
the five
and like the IGTV or
exactly,
something to that effect.
Exactly. So they would see that, and then once they see it, they're going to it can funnel them out to a website where they can make a purchase or whatever. So it's like it's a funnel. It's called a click funnel.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, you caught me up on a whole bunch of stuff today, man.
Exactly. Like I said, I follow trends all the time.
Yes.
I follow trends all. It's fun, and it's like an adrenaline rush. It's like, okay, what's the next trend? What's mm-hmm. the next big thing? What's gonna take?
It's hard to stay on top of it, though.
It's hard.
It is because it's constantly changing.
It's constantly changing, which is why, like, if you have a YouTube channel or if you follow a YouTube channel that you like that talks about trends in various industries, you can stay on top of it better because you have a go-to channel
mm-hmm.
that you can look up trends mm-hmm. instead of you can watch a video on a trend instead of having to scroll through Facebook feed all the time. Which is another reason why video is more powerful. I got tongue tied. Video is more powerful than like text on a screen.
Yeah,
video is the most powerful.
Or a picture.
Or a picture. Like, you know how they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Video is worth 10,000 words.
Excellent.
Legit. I'm dead serious. Legit. And it's so true. It's so true. And then just imagine in like 20 years when we have AI. And we don't even need, like, and it's just by sound. By sound, we can get whatever we want by sound.
Or mental telepathy.
Exactly.
You just think
telepathy
it.
Is like,
that's
next level scary stuff.
That's alien shit.
That's alien shit. That's scary shit. Like, I'll be like, I don't want the government to probe my brain.
Right.
That would be scary shit right there. Legit.
That's for our grandchildren.
That's for our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm a 70-year-old grandpa, I could only imagine what my grandkids would be doing.
No doubt.
Yeah.
You kids today?
Yeah.
You're going to be
back,
that guy.
Back in my day, all I had was this small cell phone and social media. But you kids today don't even have social media. You guys have, like, mind recognition and stuff like that.
All I had was sneakers, a mailbox, and school.
Well, sneakers are going to be
in my
huge.
Day.
Sneakers are still going to be huge.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's, I'm just saying, dude, back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day, the reminiscent grandfather.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the reminiscent. Back in my day, we had all this.
Boy, this is awesome, man. Yeah. We got to get you back, man. And I'm looking
exactly.
forward to working with you, too, in the future.
Yeah,
we got some things.
There are so many things.
Yeah, man. We got some things in the works.
Oh, I am so sorry. I should have talked more about my esports adventure.
No. We're going to bring it back.
Okay,
we're going to bring it back.
On the next episode,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about all my esports travels
okay.
and all the different tournaments I've been through. I've been to, and all the connections I've made and all the relationships I've built, and the time where I met two of the best Super Smash Brothers player in the world. Like, in 2016, I met The Moon and DJ Nintendo, two of the best Smash Brothers players in the world. So, guys, stay tuned for the next episode.
Absolutely.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot from Bowie.
Absolutely.
In the next few coming months.
Exactly.
And we've got some things in the works. So.
And I got to say thank you so much to Z for making everything possible. And Z, you're amazing. You are the best person in the world.
Oh, stop it.
Legit.
Cut it out. my haters would beg to differ, I'll tell you that. But anyways, we do got some great things happening in the works and in the future, and I'm looking forward to getting it all launched and all out there, and you keeping me up to date on technology.
Absolutely.
And this is something I think we need to do often, because like we talked about it earlier, that it's constantly changing, so we need to stay on top of it.
We got to stay on top of
it. And if you're very well read in the subject, then I need to have you come back so you can teach me.
I will teach you. Thank you so much, Z.
I love the energy, brother. Thank you so much. I do. I love your energy, and that's something we need around here big time. We need that young, exuberant energy. And that's you, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you so much for coming on. This has been good.
It is my pleasure.
Let's do this again really, really soon. And you know, that door's open. You come hang out anytime you want, man.
I look forward to it, Z. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, Disruption Network. Thank you so much, community. Thank you so much, MVD. And thank you so much, the people in the chat. Thank you so much. I'm trying to remember all your names, but I can't. But thank you so much.
Yes.
And have a wonderful day.
I want everybody to do us a favor. If you're watching this on Facebook or any of it, please share this podcast. Absolutely. And we'll have the podcast up in a little bit. Talking about all the good things that we're doing here in the community, we've got a big thing happening on Sunday, April 28th.
Ooh.
And I got to let everybody know about First Source Federal Credit Union presenting Disrupting Hunger.
Yes.
And we're having a fundraiser type of thing for the Veterans Outreach Center. And it's happening Sunday, April 28th from noon to 4. It's located at 726 Washington Street, right behind old Mellow Subs, and it's the old YMCA. So come on in. We're going to have a nice little party over there. There's going to be live music from Dark Matter and Mutt Farm. There's going to be food. There's going to be raffles. Audie from the Utica Comets are going to be there. We're looking for non-perishable food items. We're looking for clothes. We're looking for perishable food items, too, because they got freezers, so they could just freeze stuff there. Pretty much what we're looking for is pretty much any kind of home-used product. So furniture, hygiene products, toiletry, clothes, sneakers, shoes, parkas, whatever. We will take it all, and it's happening on Sunday, April 28th. We're going to have drop-off locations. We're going to announce those really, really soon, and most of them you'll find them at the First Source Federal Credit Union, but that's coming up really, really soon. So we will let everybody know when the drop-off boxes are out there, and you could drop off food, clothes, everything that I mentioned before. So many, many, many thanks to First Source Federal Credit Union for helping us out with this one. This is going to be a good time. Looking forward to Disrupting Hunger with First Source Federal Credit Union and the Veterans Outreach Center. Also, much love and respect out to my friends over at Nye Volkswagen in Rome, 5865 Tabor Road in Rome. Stop into the showroom, mention the D, $250 off any vehicle purchase. You can see why their customers love their Nye VW. You can check out their inventory at NyVWofRome.com, which I'm headed there in just a little bit. I got to go pick up my car.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they whatever, but I got to go pick it up. So big love to my friend Mike Sacco and Craig Zulo and Damon and all the folks at Nye Volkswagen. Great folks over there. If you're in the market for a brand new Volkswagen, go see them. That thing that I got out there, well, not what I got out there now. That's just a little loaner, but they gave me a Jetta 40 miles to the gallon.
Oh.
I filled it up. And it took me like 3 weeks to go through a whole tank of gas.
Whoa.
And I do a lot of driving. Went to Syracuse a couple times, went to
that's
Rome a couple
amazing.
Times.
Three weeks for it? That's amazing.
It was just short of 3 weeks. But whoa. Yeah, just short of 3 weeks. But yeah, unbelievable. Going through.
Whoa.
It's insane. It's does absolutely it insane. So it's going to help me out a lot this summer when I'm traveling all over the place.
Synthetic gas?
I used regular unleaded. Regular unleaded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
40 miles to the gallon. So the Volkswagen Jetta, if you're looking to save some vehicle mileage and gas mileage, the Volkswagen Jetta is where it's at.
The Volkswagen Jetta.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing to know. I'm gonna send that information to so many people.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Yes,
I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know people who are looking for that type of car.
Do you know anybody looking to move and relocate?
Anybody looking to move? I don't know right now, but I'll get back to you.
I have a great moving service for you. EJA Moving Company.
EJA.
Yeah.
I'll write that down.
My boy Eddie Alsheimer, man. The guy is a logistics guy. So if you want to move to Guatemala, he'll move you to Guatemala. You want to move to Vegas, he'll move you to Vegas. He'll move you pretty much wherever you want to go. And he's, like I said, he's a logistic guy. He makes it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. The professional movers, call him today at 315-335-0516 or hit him up, ejamoving.com.
You got to give this to me after this because I know people. I know people who might move.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to double check with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you like got to move gym equipment or you're moving an office or even if you got to move a heavy piece of equipment, he'll move it for you.
He'll move. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not necessarily moving your home, too. He'll move pretty much. Like I said, he's a logistic guy. Also, they have storage on hand, too, over at EJA Moving. So if you're looking for some storage, hit him up, 315-335-0516.
Thank you.
This has been fun, man.
Thank you. Good conversation today.
Thank you for teaching me some things.
Absolutely. And I'm going to have you come forward to the second episode.
The next episode, we talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, we talk about esports, my adventures.
Yeah.
And then we talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so much stuff about Star Wars, like, oh my God. Because I had adventures in Star Wars too, so.
We're also going to have you hang out a lot this summer, and we're going to have you do some things with us. So.
Oh my God, guys.
I'm going to bring you out. I think I got to bring you out in about one
exactly.
night. You're going to go hang out with Uncle Z one night. So.
Yes.
You drink beer, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Of course. I drink so much. I drink so much.
we're gonna get along just fine.
It's going to be amazing.
Where can people check you out online, your handles and all
okay,
that?
Okay, so you can check me out at Instagram at Debo Smash Bros, all lowercase. So it's DBOWSMASHBROS on Instagram. And the same thing on Twitter. And then for Twitch, it's EMDBOW. So that's on Twitch, it's EMDBOW. And then on YouTube, it's capital D, capital B, O, W. And for YouTube, when you type that in, make sure you type Smash Bros after in the search. That way you can find me easier.
And you're doing new content all the time on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one planned out for this week.
Cool. So you do it weekly?
Weekly.
Okay.
I'm trying so hard to do it weekly.
Excellent.
If not, it's 1.5 weeks. So.
Nice. Well, you're going to be seeing Bowie around here a lot coming in the next few weeks.
Yes.
And we got a bunch of big things that we're going to be working
on.
There's
so much amazing potential.
Welcome
so
to the team, my friend.
I look forward to it.
Me too, my friend.
Guys, much more. And you know what Stan Lee says? Excelsior.
What's that?
That means forever upward and forever onward.
Absolutely. We're going to end it on that. Thank you, Bowie. Thank you, everybody. Please share this. We'll see you tomorrow.
You know what the hell you're listening to?
It's EC Radio.
Tax season is here, and First Source wants to help you be prepared. Our friends at Furley, Moran, Freer, and ESA have given us some great tax tips to share. Read the blog at fsource.org for helpful answers to your tax questions and feel better prepared before you file. FirstSource members can also receive a discount on TurboTax software. Be ready for tax season with help from your friends. File smarter, live smarter with FirstSource. Membership requirements apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, baseball fans, are you counting down the days to opening day? Well, Disruption Network has you covered. The Baseline, the D-Zone Baseball Podcast, is back with Season 2 and all new episodes all season long. Sunday nights, 7:30 p.m. on the D. Get your baseball fix as JP and SPG run down the news and notes around Major League Baseball. Get fantasy tips, player rankings, team previews, interviews, and more. You can catch The Baseline and all of Disruption Network's programming by checking out disruptionnetwork.net, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube, Facebook, and Stitcher. Keep it inside The Baseline all season long, only on the D.
Hey, it's Cassidy, and you're listening to Disruption Network.
So you just bought your dream home, and now it's time to move. Let's face it, nobody likes to move. All the packing, unpacking, lifting, upstairs, downstairs, and broken everything, including your back. Let the professionals at EJA Moving Company take all the stress and pain out of your move. Competitively priced moving.
relocation services, office moves, and complete packing and unpacking services. They work with everybody to make it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. Call EJA Moving Company at 315-335-0516. When it's time to relocate, have EJA Moving do all the work for you. Hit them up online, ejamoving.com.
Hey, Disruption Network. This is Mike Sacco, the general manager at Nye Volkswagen of Rome. If you don't know me by name, it's only because you have not received the best deal. There's only one reason to leave Utica, and that's to come see me in Rome and get the best deal on your next new, pre-owned, or certified VW. Mention that you heard this ad from Disruption Network and receive $250 off your next vehicle purchase. You'll know why our customers say, I love my Nye VW. Come see us at 5865 Rome Taberg Road in Rome or visit us online at nyevwofrome.com.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
The Disruption Network is making moves. For upcoming events, news, interviews, and new daily programming, keep in the loop with us at disruptionnetwork.net. Like, follow, and subscribe to all our social media. And check out all our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Get up on the D, disruptionnetwork.net.